Larry can hear it. Okay, got it, Larry. Thank you. So this morning we're going to be looking at the destiny. Maybe turn me down. I think I'm echoing in my ear. The appointment. Here we go, the appointment. Are you an ambassador for Christ? The appeal. Who is Jesus to you? Ooh, if I ought to stop right there and ask, who is Jesus to you? And then the application. What would the jury say about you? I got a text from one of the members this morning, said, I'm not going to be able to be there this morning. Said, I got something to do. I texted him back, said, if you were on trial in the jury, how would the jury convict you this morning? I didn't get a response. I said, see you soon. Well, it's true, though. Are you on trial this morning? We think about that. Let's develop some of these things. Think about the appointment. He went up. Now, who's the he? The he is Jesus Christ. He went up on the mountain, and he summoned those who he himself wanted. Who is Jesus calling out? Jesus calls out those whom he wants. And you know what? When he calls out, if you're listening, what are you going to do? Yeah, you're going to follow him. You're going to come to him if you're listening. But remember now, when he called you, it's because he wanted you. And then when he calls you and he wants you, remember, you got to take out some of that, get out of your comfort zone. Just like Dawn's got to get out of her comfort zone. She got a call yesterday from one of the TV stations and said that they want to come out and do a spot on the food ministry. And she said, Robert said, that's a preacher's. I said, oh, no. I told you, you're the drill sergeant. And so Dawn's going to be ready and go. And you know, it's kind of amazing to me that it took over 3 years. We've been blessing people. Around 3 years? Almost 3 years. July be 3 years. We've been blessed. People had Angel Food Ministry. And you know what? The world never paid attention. But all of a sudden, over the course of time, if you stay faithful, if you stay with the stuff, somebody's going to hear about it. You got to stay. So what he did, he went up the mountain, he summoned them to himself, and they came. Now when they came, it was important to know that their destiny is written there. And three things. The destiny is be, the destiny is send, and the destiny is have. What are you talking about? He appointed 12. Why didn't he appoint 13? Why didn't he appoint 6? He appointed 12. And you know what one of those were? Was? One of those was a devil, a betrayer. His name is Judas, the son of Iscariot. So 11 men were the ones who were going to take it. But he appointed 12 so that they would do three things. One, so that they would be with him. They'd be with him. If you're going to walk and turn the world upside down, you got to spend time with Jesus. They would be with him, but you're not spending time with Jesus just to hang out. Because what did he want them to do? So that they would be with him, so that he could send them out to preach. By the way, what have you been sent out to do? Oh, I'm no preacher. Oh, yeah, you are. If you proclaim the good news, that's what you do. But, you know, if you just go out and talk, you need to have authority. And so that's what Jesus says. And to have authority, even to cast out demons. So what's he calling you to do? Spend time with me. Do what I've asked you to do. Go share the good news. But don't do it in your own self. Go with authority. And when you go with authority, things begin to happen. For instance, and he appointed the 12, beginning with verse 16. And he appointed the 12, Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, and James, and John, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James. To them he gave the son of Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. And Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Now, that's all those guys that y'all were naming a while ago. And y'all knew what some of these guys were doing. By the way, let's just stop for a moment here. You know, Simon, who's also called Peter, who was he? He was the rock. He was the leader. He was a guy that opened his mouth and swapped feet. He was doing it all the time. But he's a guy that said, hey, look, I'm the one. I'm going to stay with you, Jesus, all the way. If I have to die, I'm going to stay with you, Jesus. he's the guy that betrayed him three times. But he was still one of the 12, right? And boy, after he got his heart right, after he betrayed the Lord, and after he repented and wept, man, he came back with a fireball. He came back, preached a sermon. The first sermon he preached, there was 3,000 people saved. See, he spent time with Jesus to go out and preach with authority. You spend time with Jesus to go out and tell the good news with the authority with you. And people will hear. People will respond. But I could, and then there's James and John, the son of, they called him Boanerges, sons of thunder. I kind of like those two guys. Man, those two brothers, they were on fire. In fact, if you remember those, they were the guys that one time Jesus went through the village of a Samaritan and they wouldn't receive Jesus. So these two guys stepped up and said, Jesus, you want us to call down fire from heaven? Bring out the zapper? Flame on? Nah, Jesus said, Nah, y'all guys' heart's not right. That's not what we're going to do. These guys, they were vocal. By the way, if you remember John, all the other disciples, tradition tells us that they were martyred, killed, beheaded, crucified. Simon Peter said crucified upside down. All but John. John was around 90, 95 years old. He was out on the Isle of Patmos, and there, on this deserted prison island, he received the writing of the Revelation. But I want to know about this other guy named Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas. By the way, Thomas. Thomas said, if I asked you, who's Thomas, who would you say? Doubting Thomas. But you know what? Thomas was the guy that when Jesus said, let's go back to Jerusalem, and they said, no, they're wanting to kill you at Jerusalem. Thomas is the guy that said, let's go with him so that we might die with him. That was Thomas. So many of these guys you don't hear anything about, but I want you to remember who served 5,000 men fish and bread. Who? The 12. Who served 4,000 men fish and bread? The disciples. The 12. Who preached and demons were cast out? The 12. Who saw Jesus walk on water? The 12. Who walked with Jesus in the face of danger, imprisonment, and threat of death? The 12 did. Who brought children to Christ? The 12 did. Who saw Jesus with a nail-scarred hand and in his side? Who saw? The 12. 11 did at that time. The 11 did. Who turned the world upside down? The 11 did. Except, think about it. Some of those guys, you don't even know their name. But they were the guys that were turning the world upside down. Oh, when Dawn becomes the star on this TV show, everybody's going to say, oh, there's Dawn. And you know what? They're not going to know Renee was over there at the table. They're not going to, I mean, you go down the line, all of these others, they're not going to know that it was Nate out in the parking lot or Zeke out of, they're not going to know all these guys. But you know what? They are as much a part of making these things happen. Right, Don? Yeah, but you're going to be the star. I had to use that because she tried to get me yesterday. Okay, so these things are going to happen. My point is this. There's a lot of people who are behind the scenes who are doing the work of God. Nobody's going to know their name. But when you get to heaven, hey, you're going to be known. Well, here's the appeal. Three L's, did we mention? What's your destiny? One of the writers wrote, I think it was Josh McDowell, don't hold me to that one. But he wrote a book and he said that Jesus was either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. I ask you, who do you say Jesus is? How do you see Jesus? Is he a liar? Is he a lunatic? Is he Lord? Yeah. But you know, many of the people that we dealt with yesterday, they had to answer this question. Some of you today are having to answer this question. We're going to have to say, was he really who he said he was? Or, well, let's look at this. The crowd. And I'm going to give you three. The first L in there is the crowd. He came home. This is verse 20. He came home and the crowd gathered together to an extent that they could not even eat. The guys who said Jesus is Lord, they didn't care about food. They didn't care about eating. They crowded in there, shoulder to shoulder. They wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. That's the ones that said it's Lord. There's something more important than eating. If I preach at 12:30, I want y'all to remember that. Okay? There's something more important than eating. Okay. Anyhow, these guys gathered together. You see, those who call Jesus Lord, they're going to gather together. They're going to group up. I was talking with one lady yesterday, sharing the Christ with her. By the way, let me tell you, the five questions work. For those who are going through the home Bible study, y'all know the five questions. Ought to make you stand up and say them. But I won't. But it does work. But the crowd gathers together. Then there's the relatives. You know what the relative said about Jesus? He's a lunatic. Oh, no. You mean Mary said that? You mean his brother James said that? Boy, when Flora first read that verse, she said, nah. You mean his mother did that? No. We were talking. She gets to hear the sermon first, okay? And so therefore, when his own people, verse 21 says, when his own people heard of this, they went out to take custody of him. For they were saying, he has lost his senses. Like 30 years they'd lived with him. For 30 years, they probably saw him being a carpenter. That's what his father was, his earthly father. Jesus was a carpenter, and that's how they supported their family. And for 30 years, Jesus was probably the breadwinner. But now, because he's saying all these things and people are gathering around him, they're saying he lost his senses. You know, a lot of people really wonder, is Jesus really who he said he was? Was he a lunatic in what he said he was going to do? It doesn't fit. Well, people are still saying that. And then there's the scribes. Verse 22 said, the scribes came down from Jerusalem saying, he is possessed by Beelzebub. And he cast out demons by the ruler of demons. Oh man. Sticky? No, they nailed it to the point. They came to him and they said, Jesus is possessed with demons. They called him a flat out liar. When you start calling Jesus a liar, you better watch out. Because there is something called the unpardonable sin. We'll deal with that. But here's the application. How do we put these things together? I'm going to give you three court cases. Okay? Who's going to be on trial? Three L's. Those who said he's Lord, those who said he's a liar, and those who said he was a lunatic. And then we ask ourselves the question, I know which category I say that I'm in, but my best friend, which category is he in? Or which category is she in? I really gotta answer this. Here's the destiny. Verse 23 said, and he called to himself and began to speak to them in parables. Here's the case. How can Satan cast out Satan? Bradley, how can Satan cast out Satan? You are Brent Stone's up. Okay, Allison, how can Satan cast out Satan? That's the question. That's what's on trial. You ready? This is the case. You're the jury now. Y'all gotta come to grips with it. Oh, Jesus got a defense. Here we go. Here's the defense. If the kingdom of God is divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, the house will not be able to stand. And if Satan rises up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. He's finished. So, can Satan cast out Satan? Okay? Because if Satan casts out Satan, here's what's going to happen. The kingdom's going to be divided. The kingdom's going to fail. The house is going to be divided. Satan's had it. It's over with. But this verse kind of troubled me here. This is verse 27. Same series. But no one can enter the strong man's house and plunder his property unless he first binds the strong man, excuse me, and then he will plunder his house. Is this part of the same defense? Yes. If those demons are cast out of this house, what's got to happen? A man in the house has got to overcome him. If these demons are going to be kicked out, what's going to happen? The stronger man has got to come in. Jesus Christ is the stronger man. He bound the evil one, plundered the house, cast him out. So here's the defense. Satan cannot cast out Satan, or else his kingdom will fall, and somebody stronger than Satan has come into the house to plunder it and to kick Satan out. Here's the verdict. Truly I say to you, verse 28, truly I say to you, all sins shall be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemy they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin, because they were saying he has an unclean spirit. Have y'all ever heard the term pardonable sin? Have you ever wondered, can you commit the unpardonable sin? We do wonder that. But if we take the text from which it's come from and we begin to break it down, then we have to ask some real significant questions. And let's see if I've got it broke out right here. It says, let's go one step. Who's a liar but he is going to deny Jesus Christ? Now that's the liar, okay? We're looking at this. We're bringing this thing down together. But what I wanted to do, what is the unpardonable sin? Whoever blasphemes against who? That's it. Okay. You know what blasphemy means? Denial, slander, speak evil of. Whoever speaks evil of, denial, the position, the place, the purpose. Whoever speaks evil of the Holy Spirit then, in this case, never has forgiveness. That's the what. But let's look at the who. But they're guilty of an eternal sin because they were saying what? Who's the he? That's Jesus. So if you're going to commit the unpardonable sin, then you would have had to be there in the presence of Jesus. And then you would have had to have said what? Here's the why. You have an unclean spirit. The spirit that within you is the devil. What was the spirit in Jesus? Holy Spirit. Did these scribes blaspheme the Holy Spirit? There's your answer right there. He has an unclean spirit. So, if you're going to commit the unpardonable sin, you would have to be in the presence of Jesus. You would have to see the workings of Jesus. And you would have had to have claimed the workings of Jesus to be Satan, inspired, satanic. These guys right here, they committed the unpardonable. The scribes, their day of grace was gone. Never would they have the opportunity to be born again because of what they said to Jesus. Because in heaven there will be no sin. And these guys right here never have forgiveness. Now, if I fast forward this button and kind of give you a relationship, what about you here today? Can you commit the unpardonable sin? Let me tell you. He said, all the sins will be forgiven, those who speak against the Son of Man, but those who slander the Holy Spirit. Here's the sin that you'll never be forgiven of. If you reject the Christ. That's it. If you reject the Christ, the Son of the living God, then when you die, you won't go to heaven. That's known as the sin of unbelief. You mean I can't commit the unpardonable? Excuse me. I can't commit the unpardonable? No, you can't. Jesus is not present right here in the physical form. You haven't seen His works, and therefore you cannot contribute to Him that which was done to the Holy of Satan. of Jesus blaspheming the Holy Spirit. But you can reject the Holy Spirit. And if you reject the Holy Spirit, when you go to heaven, there's no forgiveness for that. The Holy Spirit calls you today, and He wants you to respond in faith. So therefore, if you're questioning whether I've ever committed the unpardonable sin, then probably you have not. But if you also, if you ask me, is there a day and time in which the Holy Spirit will quit asking you? I think the answer is yes. He can come so many times to your heart. If you reject Him so many times, He can say, okay, that's it, buddy. And if He says that that's it, then it's over with. How do we know when that time is? We don't. We live under the aspect, as long as a man has a breath in his body, then he can repent. That's what we live with. But the fact about the matter is this. If the Father doesn't call him, he will not go. If the Father doesn't invite him, if the Holy Spirit doesn't convict him, if the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to the heart, respond to me with faith and obedience, then he won't get in. When does that occur? I don't know. I'm going to live as long as a person has breath. I want to share Jesus Christ with him. Here's another case. His relatives, of all people, his relatives called him, in essence, a lunatic. They said he's lost his senses. Guys that walked with him for 30 years, his mother gave him the birth, all of these said, we're going to pull him away, we're going to get him ourselves, and we're going to nurse him back to health because he's lost it. Then his mother and his brothers arrived, and noticing where they were standing outside, they sent word to him. Where was his brothers and sisters? They were outside. Okay, here's the case. So the defense is this, and the crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, behold, your mother and brothers are outside looking for you. You see, there are a lot of people who are looking for Jesus. But those who said he was Lord, they were around Jesus. So, is he a lunatic? Has he lost his senses? People on the outside, they're asking the questions. So here's the verdict. And the crowd was sitting with him, and they said to him, behold, your mother and brothers are outside looking for you. They're outside. Ask yourself the question then. My best friend, is he outside calling Jesus to come out? Is my best friend already turned to him and said, he's lost it? He's a liar? Like the Antichrist? And those of the spirit of the Antichrist, they say he's a liar. They say Jesus is a liar. Or is he the Lord? Is he among them? Here's the case. Last one. The crowd. The crowd is the group that says he's Lord. Here's the case. Who are my brother? Who are my mother and my brothers? Who are they? Oh, let's ask that question. What's that? Not yet. You read ahead. Okay. Who are my brothers? Who's in my family? Who has the relationship with me? And when I get to heaven, who do I say to the Father, this is my brother, this is my sister. I know them because they're part of my family. The ones that are gathered, who are they? Here's what he said. Here's the defense. Looking at those who were sitting around him, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers. Thank you, Troy. Behold, my mother and brothers. He looked at the crowd that was around him. Those who are not around him are on the outside. Either they're on the outside or they've already said he's a liar. And it doesn't matter if they're on the inside, if they've already called him a liar. It's over. Here's the verdict. Verse 35, for whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and my sister and my mother. Wow. Isn't that pretty neat? What do you think, Bram? That pretty neat? He is my brother, my sister, and my mother. Are you in that right relationship with him? Well, flesh it out a little bit. Who is this that does the will of God? Does the will of God, Jesus answered in John 6:29. Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him who He has sent. Who did God send? Jesus. So what is the work for us to do? Believe that Jesus is the one who sent from God. This is the work. Who does the work in the work of God. What did Jesus also say? Jesus said in John 14:15, He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So, okay, you mean if I'm going to, yeah. If you're going to love Jesus, you got to do what He said. You got to keep His commandments. If you don't keep His commandments, then what are you saying? I don't really love you. I don't really love you. And then, for the glory of God, Romans 15:7. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. So who's this glory for? It's all for the glory of God. Back it up. Who does the will of God? The answer is, what is the work of God? It's on the screen, a little louder. Yeah, believe that He's the one who sent. And then what is the work of God? You got to keep His commandments. Okay? And then what is for the glory? It's for the glory of God. Yeah. Accept one another. Love one another. So what is your destiny? What is your destiny? If you were on trial today, what would the jury say about you? Would the jury say He's a liar? Is that who they'd say about Jesus based on the evidence? Would they say Jesus is a lunatic? He can't be a liar because everything He said came true. He can't be a lunatic because of all the things He performed helped people. So if He's not a liar, if He's not a lunatic, then what's the other option? He's Lord. He is Lord. I trust that He is Lord of your life. Let's pray. Father, we come into Your presence, understanding and believing that You are the Lord. In reality, each one of us are on trial. And I pray that there be significant enough evidence to convict us. The jury would say, this guy, the defendant, he believes that Jesus is Lord. Father, to this end, we want to live for You. We want to worship You and serve You. If there's one here this morning that has not come to the conclusion that Jesus is Lord of their life, I know the work of the Holy Spirit convicts. I know that the work of Holy Spirit points out that we're sinners. And I know the work of the Holy Spirit points us that we want to be forgiven of our sins. And I know that the work of the Holy Spirit guides us to surrender to the Lordship of Christ. And so to this end, Lord, if one's not been standing before the jury, now, Lord, let them stand and say, I surrender all to Jesus Christ. So, Father, if one surrenders to You this morning, I pray that You will give them the courage to make it known, make it public. Please, Lord. For us that are wrestling with these questions of all the noise that's around us, Lord, help us to make it clear. Help us to understand, Lord, just like the disciples You called us. You asked us to spend time with You. Then You asked us to go out and spread good news, not on our own, but with power. We are ambassadors of Christ because Jesus Christ is Lord of our life. Bless now Your people. The decisions made this morning, lives are going to be changed by the Word of God. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together just for a moment. sing a song of giving praise unto the Lord God. It's a whole hymn that they come out that I share together with the group on Wednesday night. But during this time, if Christ has come into your life and you'd like to make it public, hey, I'm going to be standing right down front with you guys. Just come and share with me so I can share with the family. Because Jesus said, who is my mother? Who is my sister? Who is my brother? It's you who do the will of the Father. Let's make it known. The prayer altar is going to open. Many times we bring something that needs to be left in here. Prayer altar is a good place to leave it. So we do invite you. And do invite you to that place. Let's share together in this hymn. Share together. One of the most important things is we pray for many people who are needing to stay out of heaven, in other words, get healed. We also want to be in prayer for those who need to get into heaven on our soul wall.